Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 13th day of April 2021. And I'm thrilled to have back a returning guest, someone whom I love to interview, and I love to hear him preach at some of the conferences that I attend. His name is Dr. Stephen J. Nichols, who has received his Ph.D. from Westminster Theological Seminary in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And he is the Chief Academic Officer for Ligonier Ministries. He's also a Ligonier's Ministries Teaching Fellow and host of the podcasts 5 Minutes in Church History and Open Book. He's an author of more than 20 books, including Beyond the 95 Theses and A Time for Confidence, and co-editor of Crossway's Theologians on the Christian Life series. He's the president of Reformation Bible College in Sanford, Florida, and today we are going to address what may be his most important work, and perhaps even one of the most important works, especially in the form of a biography in the 21st century, R.C. Sproul, A Life, which is obviously the biography of the late R.C. Sproul, a great hero of mine, and I'm sure to multitudes in our audience. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Stephen J. Nichols.
Chris, thanks for having me. I am so much looking forward to this conversation about our dear friend R.C. and just time with you and the folks listening.
Amen. Well, why don't you, for those of our listeners who are not very familiar with Reformation Bible College in Sanford, Florida, why don't you start with a brief explanation and description of that fine institution?
Oh, I'd be glad to. This college was founded by R.C. Sproul. So he visited Geneva, and he saw it. And he'd say later, Chris, I don't even have to close my eye. I can see it in my mind's eye. And he's talking about the Geneva Academy, which was founded by John Calvin and evolved into the University of Geneva. But it signaled that the reformers were about theological education. Luther was a professor at the University of Wittenberg. Calvin started the academy there at Geneva. The idea was to train the next generation. And so R.C. started Reformation Bible College. Doors opened in 2011. We're 10 years old. We're here in Central Florida. And it's just a wonderful place to be, to study theology and get grounded in God's Word and in the deep things of God. And we believe that's the best education for whatever God calls you to do, whether he calls you into the pulpit or calls you into the pew. So it's just a joy to be here. We have about 150 students on our campus, and they're just a delightful bunch, and it's a real blessing of God for us to be part of the work here at RBC.
Well, if anybody wants to find out more about Reformation Bible College, jot down this website, and I'm sure we will be announcing this later on as well. But the website is reformationbiblecollege.org, reformationbiblecollege.org. So I'm very curious in regard to this biography. What a daunting task and responsibility laid in anyone's hands to be the first biographer of the late R.C. Sproul, because obviously you don't want to mess anything up when you're creating such an important volume that will no doubt bless generations until the Lord returns. As far as I'm concerned, I have that much confidence in the legacy that Dr. Sproul left that I don't think that there'll be a generation that does not know about him or is unconcerned or indifferent toward him. But how did this occur where you were the one to write this biography? Was there a race amongst those at Ligonier? or did somebody say, guess what, you're the guy, or how did that happen?
Well, I love church history, and all the folks I had written on had died. I had never met them, and I had this idea. What if I wrote on somebody that I could actually talk to and get to know? This was back in 2013, Chris. It was before I came down here full-time and began working for Ligonier and had the idea for the biography. I was down here for different things. I was teaching as an adjunct at the college and would come down for Ligonier events. So on one occasion, back in 2013, I was down here. I talked to Chris Larson, who's Ligonier's president. I said, what do you think about, you know, venturing this idea of a biography? And I was scheduled for dinner that night with the Sprouls, and Chris said, sure, bring it up with them, see what they say. So we're having dinner, and I said to R.C., thinking about writing a biography. And R.C. goes, great, it's a great idea. Who's it on? And I said, well, you, actually. And R.C., you know, puts his fork down and goes, on me? Huh. Who wants to read about me? And I said, oh, I think you'd be surprised. So that was the first conversation about it. And, you know, the years went on. I came down here and spent time with the Sproul's. And, you know, you talk about it. Sure, I felt a tremendous obligation in writing this. I just think God so used him to impact so many people. And even, I think we didn't realize that Ligonier, the full impact of R.C., at his death just seemed to shine a spotlight on his impact. And so many folks expressed the appreciation for his impact. But honestly, I had so much fun writing it, because he just was fun. And I was just in his life, and it really, I'm not sure any other, I know, I pretty much know for certain no other book will be as much fun as writing this one, and nearly as enjoyable as this book was to write.
You know, you mentioned something interesting about him being fun. You know, there are a lot of people that I don't believe belong behind pulpits who are constantly in a state of having fun and trying to have their audiences have fun, and they really eclipse the gospel message and so forth. But Dr. Sproul obviously was infinitely far away from that kind of manner. He was a brilliant intellect, and yet on deep theological issues, without candy coating them, without watering them down, and without putting them in a lower rung of relevance or importance, he was able to have fun giving these presentations and these lectures and sermons, and it was contagious. I don't think that I ever watched, especially, I mean, I always prefer watching videos of him over hearing the audio only, although I love both, but there's something so captivating about his whole almost Columbo-like presentation that I always had me riveted, and I can't recall ever watching him without having a big smile on my face. I mean, I'm sure that was something similar to your experience.
It was. You know, when I think about this, he fully realized the forgiveness of his sins in Christ. And to recognize that the wrath of God has been satisfied. I mean, that's true joy. And I think that was deep-seated in R.C. I mean, he understood sorrow and suffering. He could get very serious. He could get righteously angry. But there was a joy to him that you just sensed, and it came out. I remember Al Mohler would say that, you know, when it was a conference and he'd have these speaker dinners where all the speakers were together, and Al would always say that if RC were there, yeah, it was just everybody's laughing, telling jokes, having a great time. And when RC wasn't there, you know, a lot of these guys are introverts. These like public figures are introverts, so these boring sort of quiet speaker meals without RC. But I think he, you know, once you have your sins forgiven and you stand righteous in Christ, like, you can have true joy. And I think that was RC. And I think people sensed that. It was genuine with him. And I loved how you put it. It's fun's probably not the best word here. But true joy, really just RC exuded it. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I can vividly remember the first time I saw him and heard him preach, which was a simultaneous privilege, because I saw him when I was a new Christian, not very familiar with who he was or Ligonier Ministries at all. I was a very new Christian, and someone said to me, you've got to start attending as often as you can the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology. And that
right.
was when it was being held still at 10th Presbyterian Church, when Dr. James Montgomery Boyce was still with us. This would have been in the late 1980s. And he was, R.C. was on a phenomenal roster, but I never got close to him. I never got to speak with him while there, but years later, when he was conducting a Bible conference at Calvary Baptist Church in New York City, I was honored with the privilege during a time of refreshment to actually stand face-to-face with him and have a chat, and he actually enjoyed my John Gerstner imitation and laughed and said that I did a good job. And then I had the even infinitely greater privilege of interviewing him when it did not look like it was ever going to happen, because he had, well, Ligonier had seriously cut back the frequency of his doing interviews. And I was amazed that his secretary had called me and said that some folks here at Ligonier love your show, and Dr. Sproul would like to be on your program. And I could have fallen off my chair. And then for him to write an endorsement, a commendation for the show was just mind-blowing. I never thought that I'd get this wonderful email from his secretary. I remember her calling me and saying, Dr. Sproul has written you an endorsement, but he doesn't use a computer. Would you like me to mail it to you, or do you want me to scan it and email it to you? And I said, scan it and email it, because I wanted it immediately. And that is one of my prized possessions, one of my most prized possessions of my entire career. How did you first meet R.C. Sproul?
Well, it was at one of those PCRTs. I was just a college kid, and a friend of mine were there at the conference. We were there together. And he had a book. We both booked for RC to sign. You know how these book signings were, the line would snake out the building and off to Rittenhouse Square. And here we were, and we waited, we got up to him. My friend, as he pushes the book across the table to Dr. Sproul, he says, Dr. Sproul, by any chance, are you going to be speaking in New Jersey anytime soon? And Dr. RC looks up at him and he says, young man, if I am in New Jersey, it won't be by chance. So I'm next, and I just sort of sheepishly, I'm not going to say anything at this point, I just sheepishly push my book across, get it, put it on my head. But it was years later that I came down here, 2010, I think, to do a small conference that was hosted here on our campus, And before the conference, had dinner with the Scrolls. You know, I'm all nervous. I'm cramming. I've got theological dictionaries in my suitcase. I'm sort of cramming before this. What's he going to ask about? Making sure. And you sit down with them, and, I mean, immediately you're at ease. They're asking about your family. Do you have any pets? Oh, you have a dog. Then it's just off to the races and talking about dogs. And immediately you are just put at ease and just enjoying being in this moment. So that was really just a precious memory I have of, I'll call that my first official encounter with, we'll forget that first encounter back in the 90s and move on.
So tell us something about his childhood. I believe he was born in 1939, was he not?
That's right. So his dad is well past the draft age. His dad's in an accounting firm. It was founded by R.C.'s grandfather, R.C. Sproul and Sons. His dad was one of the sons of that. And his dad chaired the draft board for Allegheny County, which is Pittsburgh. And his dad just felt like he's sending all these young men off to war that he should go. And so he enlisted. Goes in as an accountant, as a captain in the Army Air Force. And you can't, this is like all these children who were born and came of age during World War II. The war was very much a shaping influence in RC. It dominated his memories, the blackout curtains and air raid signals. So here he is in this 10 miles away from downtown Pittsburgh, suburban neighborhood of Pleasant Hills. But an early childhood dominated by the war, then his dad comes home, and then it's the, you know, happy days. There's the drugstore on the corner with the soda fountain and the soda jerks, and everything's right there. The elementary school is right there. You can walk to it. The playground is right there. The church is right there. The park where he plays Little League baseball is a mile away. And then Vesta is right there, too. So she moves into the neighborhood. Her family moves into the neighborhood when she's in the second grade and he's in the first grade. And the legend has it that the boys were sort of chasing each other, running around the elementary school. And R.C. literally ran into Vesta as he was running around the school. And that was their first encounter, going back to the first and second grade. And then he just sort of kept chasing her all through high school. But
And this was in Pittsburgh?
Yes. He's clearly a son of Pittsburgh. There's no doubt about it. And as a kid, I mean, this takes us back, right? This is just a whole different era. So his parents would always let him skip school on the first day, opening day of the season, and he would hitchhike to Forbes Field. So this is long before the new field that Pittsburgh, before Three Rivers, it was Forbes Field, and he would watch the Pirates opening day. He was there the first day Roberto Clemente donned a major league uniform.
Wow.
And hits a home run. So this was all part of his childhood and part of his experience.
Wow. So tell us something about his religious background growing up. I don't know how deeply religious his parents were. And tell us about the journey he went through, because I know that he was not always theologically where he wound up.
They were in church all the time, and he was in church all the time. Problem was, it was a liberal church, just wasn't preaching the gospel. And so all through junior high, high school, elementary years, he's singing in the church choir, but it's devoid of the gospel. The pastor is supposed to be a Presbyterian church, but rather than catechize them on the Westminster Shorter Catechism, the pastor wrote his own. And to give you an indication of where this is going theologically, the first question was, who is the greatest Christian who ever lived? And the answer was supposed to be, Albert Schweitzer. So this is the theology that R.C. Sproul is getting. Goes to Westminster College, which is an historically Presbyterian college about an hour's drive north of Pittsburgh, but it's long since left its Presbyterian roots and identity, shows up there on an athletic scholarship. And as a freshman, he was about to head out of town and head over to Youngstown, Ohio, because they didn't check IDs at the bars in Youngstown. So he was about to head out for a Friday night of partying as a college kid. And he gets summoned over to a table by upperclassmen who are leaders of the football team, stars on the football team. So, of course, R.C. is going to go, right, and obey the summons. And they say, come here. And these two guys are huddled over a Bible and doing a Bible study together. And they say, look at this. And Bible's open to Ecclesiastes 12:3. If a tree falls in the woods, there it will lie. Whether it falls, this is the verse. Not Romans Road, not Isaiah 53, Ecclesiastes. R.C. went on to say he probably is the only Christian in all of church history to come to salvation on that verse. But R.C. said, and I love this, this really gives us some insight into R.C. He said he saw it immediately. He was that tree, dead, rotting, just fallen in the woods.
Wow.
He goes back to his dorm room, gets on his knees, and begs God for mercy.
Wow.
And begs God to save him. And he's converted. He's got a girlfriend, Vesta, and she's at over in Worcester, and she's at an all-girls college. He calls her, and he says he's got to talk to her. And he goes and gets her, drives her to Westminster, and is going to take her to a Bible study on campus. But before the Bible study, he tells her what happened. And she just gets this overwhelming conviction. And she's praying for her salvation. And then she looks at R.C. This is what she says. I love this. She says, the Holy Spirit is real.
Huh.
She says, so this is their conversion, right? Like, coming out of a liberal theology context, both of them, Vesta went to the same church, they sang in the choir together, and hearing the gospel, and literally, you just see the light of the gospel coming on in their lives. So, converted as a freshman in college. And clearly, right, the rest is history. I mean, this is a passionate young man who has a lot of skills and talents and is driven. And now you're just going to begin to see all that passion being driven to just teach people who God is. That's going to be R.C.'s trajectory.
Amen. Well, as a Reformed Baptist, I loved hearing his salvation testimony that sounded more like a Baptist testimony. Because as you probably know, I think you're a former Baptist as well, aren't you?
I am indeed. But I've transgressed. I've moved over to the Presbyterian side of things.
Well, as you probably know, speaking with so many Presbyterians that were born and raised in Presbyterian families, the typical discussion, although not all the time, just like you just gave us the story of R.C.'s salvation, a typical thing that I have often heard on my own show, even when interviewing guests, is, I can't remember a time I didn't believe in Jesus. I was born and raised in the church and was nurtured in the faith ever since I was an infant. So when I came to be aware of my conscience, as far back as I can think, I remember knowing and loving Jesus. So it's kind of interesting to hear a different path that our Lord took with R.C. We have to go to our first break. It's going to be rather brief. If you have a question of your own, please provide your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you have come to agree with the theology of R.C. Sproul and you are in a church that is vehemently opposed to Reformed theology or Calvinism, or you're, perhaps you're even a pastor going through that journey, and you have a question for Dr. Stephen J. Nichols about that. Well, we would understand you remaining anonymous under circumstances like that. But please, if it's just a general question about the life and legacy of R.C. Sproul, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages with more of Dr. Stephen J. Nichols of Reformation Bible College and his biography, R.C. Sproul, A Life. Don't go away.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. My friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are headed down to Atlanta, Georgia once again for the G3 Conference. This year's G3 will be held Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be joined by over 20 other speakers and musicians to lead in the worship of God through preaching, teaching, and singing, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Conrad Mbewe, Daryl Bernard Harrison, and Virgil Walker. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G321. This is James White reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Welcome back. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours is Dr. Stephen J. Nichols, and he is the president of Reformation Bible College in Sanford, Florida, a college founded by the late R.C. Sproul, who went home to be with the Lord on December 14th, 2017. I can't believe it's 4 years already. It's amazing. And we are discussing the new biography that Dr. Stephen J. Nichols has written, R.C. Sproul, A Life. If you have any questions, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence and your country of residence. so we reached a point in R.C.'s life when he realized he was a dead sinner in need of a savior. And when did he start to become this academic giant of intellect? Was this something that was early on recognized in his life as a student, or is this something that he developed?
Yeah, something that happened very quickly after his conversion. And this was a big part of the story I was interested in. You know, we know Dr. Sproul, we come to know him through Renewing Your Mind or through his books or through his conference speaking, you know, in the 90s and the zeros. But I was really interested in, and obviously, clearly, there's a foundation there. You know, we see him stand up and talk on any number of subjects without notes. But you know there's a foundation there. And that foundation, from the time of his conversion, which goes back to 1957, really into those early years of the Ligonier Valley Study Center in the 1970s, that was just a time of building that foundation. As soon as he's converted, he just devours God's Word. And he talked about this often, Chris. He would say that as he read the Old Testament, he came to this realization that God is a God who plays for keeps. And you almost see right from day one this sense of who God is. And, of course, we all know him through holiness of God and chosen by God, and just how he labored tirelessly to point people not to, you know, the God they think should be, but the God that Scripture declares to be. And you see that early on. He was not a good student in high school. He could care less. He was an athlete, got to college on an athletic scholarship. He had ability, no doubt, but he didn't apply himself. He had a professor in college. Thomas Gregory was Westminster Theological Seminary trained and had a tremendous influence on him. And it was through Gregory that R.C. studied philosophy and began to see the importance of understanding the history of ideas. And, you know, much of R.C.'s work was apologetics. You see that in his college years. He wrote his bachelor's thesis on Melville's Moby Dick, the existential implications of Herman Melville's Moby Dick.
Huh.
He's got a line in there, Chris. It's amazing. You know, he's 21 years old. He's got a line in there that talks about how Captain Ahab represents the shallow religious views of mankind.
Wow.
And I remember seeing that and thinking, this is the holiness of God. Like, this is the first plank in what will become the holiness of God. Goes on to seminary, studies under John Gershner. You can impersonate him, apparently. So Gershner, you know, R.C. said he had a bear trap mind. I mean, just tolerant intellectual. This is Christianity for the tough-minded, Gershner. These are his mentors. And he's poring over God's Word. I was able to use his Bible from the 60s. It's fallen apart. It's ripped to shreds. It's taped. It's rebound. You just see him building that foundation. You see his books from the 60s. They're underlined, margin notes, and all that study. You know, God was just using all of that for the teacher that would come in the next decades.
Now, when did he become a nationally and perhaps even a globally known figure in the body of Christ? How early on were his talents that recognized?
Yeah, so he starts Ligonier Valley Study Center 50 years ago, summer of 1971. And he writes a couple books, writes a book on the Apostles' Creed, writes a book on marriage, writes an early book called Knowing Scripture by University Press. That was after Packer's Knowing God, and it was purposely entitled Knowing Scripture, just sort of be a follow-up book that R.C. wrote. But I think the International Council for Biblical Inerrancy, the ICBI, which goes on to produce the Chicago Statement on Biblical Inerrancy in 1978, R.C. was a crucial figure in that. And I think that really was part of the piece. It sort of elevated him to a national platform. And then the teaching just took off. Nobody was doing this. They were creating these long-form teaching series for laity. Like, nobody was doing this in the 70s and 80s. And R.C. was doing this on video cassette. Nobody was doing that. They had to, in those early years, they had to mail VCR players to churches so they could watch video cassettes.
Wow.
They didn't have VCR. This was in the mid-70s. This is cutting-edge technology. But the tapes are going out, and I think it met a need. You know, people, these were complex times, the 1970s. A lot of parallel, I think, to our cultural moment. There's cultural upheaval, social unrest, political scandal, and the church was dominated by a lot of liberal voices. And here's this guy in the hills of western Pennsylvania just teaching people theology. And I think it just began to take. So then in mid-80s is when Ligonier really becomes a sort of national ministry, moves to Orlando, and R.C. publishes The Holiness of God, Chosen by God. In a few years, Renewing Your Mind is going to come on the radio every day, and that's how so many people came to know R.C., through those things.
Now, how did he come to meet one of my other heroes of the faith that I had the privilege of seeing and hearing preach on several occasions before he went home to the Lord, Dr. John Gerstner, also someone I saw and heard for the first time at the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology, because I know that there was a close relationship, and if I'm not mistaken, perhaps even was there a mentor-like relationship between Gerstner and Dr. Sproul?
Absolutely. So he meets Gerstner at Pittsburgh Seminary. He had heard Gerstner when he was a student at Westminster College. Gerstner would come up and speak, but he didn't like him the first time he heard him. He thought he was sort of harsh.
It's interesting because he developed a voice that sounded a lot like Dr. Gerstner.
That's right. So he goes to Pittsburgh Seminary, and it's liberal. I mean, it's a liberal seminary. Gerstner was there because of a merger, and he was sort of bulletproof. He came with the merger, and they were stuck with him. And so he was tenured and was bulletproof. And R.C. wrote that Gerstner was his lifeline during those 3 years in seminary. And, again, R.C. was impressed by Gerstner's mind, but he was impressed by his just love for the truth. And so Gerstner took a liking to R.C. He would do these upper-level seminars where it was basically R.C. and another student sitting in Gerstner's office. He did a whole course on the Council of Trent with Gerstner. And they had one textbook. It was the creeds from the Council of Trent. And first half is in Latin, second half is in English translation. And I have that book. It's full of notes. And in the margins, R.C. will write, Gerstner says, blah, blah, blah. Well, he's like sitting there with Gerstner and writing notes in the book as they're studying this together. I mean, what a privilege, right? Remains friend with Gerstner. They're in the presbytery together there in Pittsburgh. Gerstner helps him get to Amsterdam for his doctoral studies. Gerstner assists him there at the Ligonier Valley Study Center. And then, as Gerstner's retiring from the seminary, R.C. brings him to Ligonier as a teacher and as a teacher in residence. And Gerstner lived just a few miles away from the study center. He lived in Ligonier the whole time he taught at Pittsburgh. And so they were friends really through all those decades. And Gerstner was truly a mentor and a lifeline for R.C.
Now, I know that Dr. Gerstner held a very high view of the church and the church membership and so on, and he really held on there. People might not realize, because he was such a staunch conservative and Calvinist, that he really hung on there at the PCUSA for a lot longer than people might realize. Who wound up jumping ship or abandoning ship?
R.C. first.
Huh. Yeah. That's surprising. That's surprising.
Yeah, and, you know, I write about it in the book. It was an interesting moment for R.C. and Gerstner to not be on the same page. And, you know, I think some of it was age. R.C. was younger, starting out, had the whole career ahead and thought, this is a seminary, do I want to be a part of this? Gerstner was older, nearing retirement. And Gerstner stayed in a lot longer than R.C. did. But while they disagreed over, you know, coming out or staying in, they had a deep mutual respect for each other. But it was probably the only time that the two of them were not on the same page at that moment.
And it had nothing to do with Gerstner having liberal sympathies. It was his high view of church membership to such an extent.
Yeah.
I think it was to a flaw, actually.
Yeah, it was Gerstner's thinking that he needed to be if he was going to be the last conservative voice he still saw himself as a conservative voice. And, you know, RC, part of it honestly was that RC saw how they were gunning for some of the younger guys at their ordination councils. And RC just felt like these younger guys, he needed to side with some of the younger guys coming up and move over to the PCA with them. So, but it was not something that was done lightly or done in a way that was either, you know, causing a rift between the two of them. It's really an interesting moment in the relationship.
Now, I'm sure he greatly admired the late J.I. Packer, but at the same time, I know that R.C., as much as he loved Thomas Aquinas and viewed him as one of the key figures and great heroes of Christendom, he still took very seriously the gospel as believed by the reformers, because it was, in his opinion, and of course mine and yours, the biblical gospel. And he did not believe that those lines should be crossed. And I understand he was not pleased at all with J.I. Packer's signing of the Evangelicals and Catholics Together document, which was basically a peace treaty, if you will, between Catholics and Protestants. And it seemed to disturb him, did it not?
Yeah, that probably is the saddest moment in R.C.'s life. We're talking we're talking about 1994. So the first time he meets Packer is 1973. Ligonier put on a conference on inerrancy. That's, curiously enough, that's the same year Knowing God came out. But before that, Packer's first book was called Fundamentalism and the Word of God, and took a strong stand on the authority of Scripture. And because of that book, R.C. invited him to come and speak at the Ligonier conference on inerrancy. And they were friends ever since, close friends. Just before Evangelicals and Catholics Together, Packer was at a Ligonier National Conference, and they were in one of these Q&A panels, and somebody said, "Do you two ever disagree with each other?" And R.C., you know, thought for a moment, and he said, "No, I can't think of a time we disagree." And I think he said something to the effect of, we're foxhole buddies. Yeah, we're in this. Well, then comes out ECT, and it's not just Packer, it's also Chuck Colson. R.C. and Chuck were good friends in the mid-70s.
Yeah, Chuck Colson was the architect of it.
Colson's the architect of it. Packer comes along and signs it. And these are his friends. Like, R.C. invested with vacation with the Colsons, and they were friends. And so here comes ECT, and ECT is sort of quarantined off, justification, doesn't really say anything about imputation and what a significant difference there is between Roman Catholicism and evangelicals on Catholicism, on imputation. But here it is, setting aside what are the essential doctrines of the gospel, and saying we can have agreement, we can be together as evangelicals and Catholics, we just bracket off these doctrines. And, of course, R.C. is going to say, this isn't right. This is the gospel we're talking about. And he's not alone. You mentioned Jim Boyce earlier. So Jim Boyce is siding with R.C. John MacArthur is siding with R.C. D. James Kennedy is with. I mean, these are like titans in the mid-90s in the evangelical world. And this is a huge rift. But R.C., I call that chapter in the book Stand, because that is where R.C. took a stand. This is, here we are, 500th anniversary of the Diet of Worms, you know, here I stand. This is R.C., and he thought the gospel was at stake. But he didn't do this with any sense of joy or glee. It was a hard thing for him. You know, I think this is what I appreciated about R.C. He just wanted to bring clarity to theological issues, because he thought that's what people needed. They just needed clarity. What does God's word say on this issue? And that, that sort of drove him. And if that meant a rift and a friendship, then that is a truly unfortunate consequence, but that's what it means. And so, yeah, this was a hard moment and a rift in two very serious friendships for him, both with Packer and with Chuck Colson.
Was there ever any kind of a reunion between them where they began to agree more than disagree on that whole area? I mean, I'm not saying that RC would have backed off, but did J.I. Packer realize at all the seriousness of his errors in signing that?
You know, I don't think so. He wrote a piece. At the time, he was one of the editors of Crochet Today, and he wrote a piece, Why I Signed It, as a sort of response to the dust-up that it had caused. And he never really backed off and never really responded to the challenges from RC and Boyce and MacArthur. You know, I think it's one of those issues where histories got to evaluate this, and I think RC came down on the right side of that controversy. But it is just one of those sad moments. In that era.
Well, I know that there have been quite a number of people waiting in line to have their questions asked, and we will get to you, as many of you as possible, when we return from the midway break. Please be patient with us. This is the longer break in the show because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because the FCC requires of them the localizing of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and all their programming geographically to Lake City, Florida. That is a requirement of the FCC. So therefore, they, while we air our globally heard commercials in the middle of the show, they air local public service announcements and other local things that localize the program to Lake City, Florida. So please be patient with us. Also, use this time wisely. Please write down as much of the information as possible that is provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize them or at the very least respond to them by thanking them for sponsoring the show, if indeed you love the show. Because remember, folks, we rely upon our advertisers to exist. The funding that comes from our advertisers is absolutely crucial for our existence. So please forgive us with the frequency of commercials, but they are necessary. So write down as much of the information as you can from our advertisers and send in questions to Dr. Stephen J. Nichols at chrisarnson@gmail.com. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, I'm Phil Johnson, host and executive director of Grace to You, the media ministry of John MacArthur. I hope you plan to join me and Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, for the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd. The theme this year is Christ is Supreme Over All. My friend Chris Arnzen and I will be joined by several of our other friends, including Vody Balcom, Justin Peters, Daryl Bernard Harrison, Virgil Walker, and James White. More than 20 other speakers will be joining us, and the lineup this year includes my pastor, John MacArthur. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G3 2021. This is Phil Johnson reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper. president and professor of systematic and homiletical theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I have been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878. 4878.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus. Reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. You have to say you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
You don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself.
Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
This is Pastor Bill Sasser, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And never forget, folks, that solid-ground-books.com is a vital sponsor of this program. We could not exist without the finances that come through their advertising campaigns, barring a miracle from God financially, of course. So please visit solid-ground-books.com frequently and purchase generously, always mentioning that you heard about solid-ground-books.com from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, a treasure trove of wonderful books, theologically sound, biblically based books from the past and the present, even contemporary authors like Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, at solid-ground-books.com. You'll not only be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor when you purchase books from them, and you won't only be doing us a favor by keeping an advertiser happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing books from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor, because they publish the finest in Christian literature from centuries past to the present. That's solid-ground-books.com. Before we return to Stephen J. Nichols and our discussion on his biography of the late R.C. Sproul, who just went home to be with the Lord nearly 4 years ago, December 14th, 2017, we are discussing R.C. Sproul, A Life, which is the new biography by Stephen J. Nichols. Quite a hefty biography, over 350 pages long. But before we return to that and to our listener questions, just have some important announcements to make. You've been hearing the ads that we air every day for the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia. I hope that you join me there. I will be manning an exhibitor's booth there, so I hope you come and greet me if you do attend. and say hello, and possibly I could squeeze in an interview with you. I will be doing on-site interviews and recording them for future broadcasting. Please keep in prayer Vody Balcom. Vody Balcom, who was originally on the roster, may not be healthy enough to speak at the G3 conference this fall. He may be. God may bless us with his presence, but as many of you may have heard, he had quadruple bypass surgery after a real setback health-wise. He has been recovering in Jacksonville, Florida, and I just ask of you to keep him and his family in your prayers. He is such a gift to the body of Christ, such a treasure, and we need him around a long time here on earth. So please keep praying for Vody Balcom. Also, folks, if you love this show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card. If you prefer snail mail, you can mail a check to the address that will appear on the screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. Just make your checks payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and mail them to that address if you prefer snail mail. Also, if you would like to advertise with us, as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe, we would love to help you launch an ad campaign because we surely could use your advertising dollars. Just send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line. I almost said I need a church because that's my next announcement. If you are not a member of a Bible-believing church, no matter where on the planet Earth you live, I may be able to help you find one because I have extensive lists of biblically sound, theologically faithful churches all over the globe. And I have recommended and referred people in our audience all over the planet Earth to churches, some of whom have joined these churches. And these churches, sometimes to the amazement of my listeners, were right around the corner from where they live, or at least a very short distance from them. They didn't even know these churches existed, or they didn't know that the churches were theologically sound. So, you might be in that category. You might have a church near you that you didn't even know was a biblically faithful church. So, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line, and perhaps I can help you find a church. That's also the email address where you could send in a question to Dr. Stephen J. Nichols on the life of R.C. Sproul. The specific title of his new biography is R.C. Sproul, A Life. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And we do have a listener question from Andrew in New York City. What led R.C. to write The Holiness of God? In his book and lecture series, R.C. talked extensively about Martin Luther's conversion. It may seem obvious, but how did that tie into that theme?
So he preached on Uzzah back in the late 1960s. And, of course, that biblical episode ends up in the book. But in 1970, he was invited to give lectures at a Young Life conference up in Saranac, New York. And he was told to speak on 5 sessions. And he thought he could develop this idea of the holiness of God over these 5 sessions. And so he did. Then it was one of the early teaching series they put on cassette tapes at the study center a couple years later. And then when they brought the video cameras in to record video cassette teaching, the very first one they did was The Holiness of God, which was filmed actually in what would have been the Sproul's family living room, which had doubled as the lecture hall back in those days at the study center. But I think this is, and then of course it becomes the book, and the classic text, and gets published in 1985. And the series gets redone later and is, you know, in more of a studio kind of a thing. But it really gets to the heart of, right from the beginning of R.C.'s conversion and his understanding of who God is. And he just saw that the church how does David Walls put it? God rests casually on the shoulders of the American church. And here he is reading about Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, Luther, Augustine, these Mount Everests of church history who just had this vision of who God is, and out comes the book. I mean, it's everything. It's drama, it's theology, it's philosophy, it's church history, it's dramatic texts from Scripture, which R.C. loved. The holiness of God is really the... I think I put at one point in the book, the main story of R.C.'s story is the holiness of God.
Wow. Well, thank you, Andrew, in New York City. And guess what? If you give me your full mailing address, you've just won a free copy of R.C. Sproul: A Life by Stephen J. Nichols, compliments of our friends at Crossway, and also compliments of our friends at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, who will be actually shipping it out to you at no cost to you or to Iron Trip and Zion Radio. Keep listening to Iron Trip and Zion and spreading the word about the program in New York City. We have John in Bangor, Maine, who says, were the things that you were dying to put in the biography but just didn't have enough room to include them that would be fascinating to us in the audience today?
A personal story. So when we dedicated the new building here for the college, R.C. was alive for that, wasn't alive when we moved into it. We had a little dedication ceremony. We got the golden shovel, you know, the whole nine yards. And we got R.C. a Steelers construction helmet to wear for the occasion, with his dark suit and striped tie, of course. And before this, I went out and I cut a little piece of the sod, and I lifted it up from the soil and had it sort of separated, and I told R.C., you know, got it all ready for you. We go out there, I'll take my shoe, and I'll just sort of point my toe and right where you can put the shovel, dig it up, and we'll be good to go. Well, R.C., you know, gets the shovel, I point, he digs it up. Then he looks at me, looks at my shiny black dress shoes, looks at the shovel that has dirt and grass on it, and then he gets his characteristic, you know, Joker-sized grin, wink, and flicks the shovel, and the dirt flies right onto my shiny black dress shoes. And he loved to tease. And I came so close to putting that in the book. But
well, I'll follow that up with a question of my own. What was your favorite story or anecdote from the book that you included in it?
Oh, wow. Okay, so it has to be... This reflects poorly on Sinclair Ferguson, but I love him, and he can forgive me. He's a gracious man. So there was one of these speaker dinners. They were at a conference. It was R.C. loved to eat after he spoke. So it's late at night. They're at some restaurant somewhere, and it's the teaching fellows. This is back in 2010, 2011. I wasn't there. Steve Lawson's there. Sinclair's there. R.C.'s there. Sinclair starts telling the story about he was so just bone tired preaching at a conference one time. He gets up into the pulpit. He's so exhausted. He just conflates the parable of the Good Samaritan with the, I'm forgetting. But he conflates two parables. And the prodigal son. The parable of the prodigal son and the Good Samaritan. And the more he preaches, the more intertwined these stories become. And he's mixing up all the details. I mean, it's a train wreck of a sermon. So Sinclair's telling this story, and R.C. is laughing so hard that he literally broke a rib. Steve Lawson's brother is a doctor. Physician.
Really? He actually broke a rib laughing?
So R.C.'s having difficulty breathing. He's laughing so hard. They go and get Steve Austin's brother. He comes and he diagnoses that he cracked a rib, that he just laughed so hard. Sinclair's, I don't think he was, I did not think R.C. wasn't able to speak the next day at the conference.
A lot of people don't realize how funny Sinclair Ferguson is. He may seem like he's just as serious as a heart attack theologian, but I was on a very long car ride with him from Long Island to Connecticut when a deacon in my church and I gave him transportation to a speaking engagement in Connecticut after he had already preached at the church on Long Island where we were members. And I was just in stitches by this man. He, very funny man.
He is, and such a dear, I had him as a professor at Westminster Seminary, and Sinclair is a dear man, but that's a funny one. And then, when R.C. remembers it, like this, so years later, anytime he retold the story, he would just start cracking up again. Like, it was almost more fun to retell the story. So, that made it into the book.
And I want to thank John in Bangor, Maine, for the original question. And give us your mailing address, John, because you've also won R.C. Sproul of Life, compliments of Crossway, and also compliments of Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com. We'll be shipping it out to you. Here is a controversial question, but I think a very important one, actually. We have Joseph in South Central Pennsylvania, who said, "It seems that our dear brother R.C. went home to be with the Lord before the actual height of the controversies that are broiling right now with the woke movement." The irony here is that R.C. was a very instrumental figure in the lives of many black Christians who had become theologically reformed by reading him and hearing him preach. Do you think that R.C. would have a loving and warm but stern word of rebuke for them in the 21st century after he has departed this earth, if he was still here?
Well, I really appreciate the question, Joseph. I think, first of all, you know, one of the things I did appreciate about R.C. was he truly thought about people theologically. And by that, what I mean is, he understood that every single person was made in the image of God. And because they are in the image of God, they demand my respect because they are creatures of dignity. I think one of R.C.'s great books that would help us think well at this time is his book, In Search of Dignity, which has been republished by our friends over at PNR as A Hunger for Significance. And it's just such a wonderful anthropology, a doctrine of man book that just helps us think theologically. As far as, you know, what he would say at this moment, I think he would be sad to see how these issues have fractured the church, ricocheted in the church. And I think he would do what he always did. He tended not to get caught up in the headlines. He tended not, you go look at Ligonier's blog, you know, we're not just sort of sounding off on whatever is on the Wall Street Journal front page. He just wanted to offer, he always thought the most timely answer was the timeless answer. And so, he would just be telling us, what does the Bible say about human dignity? What does the Bible say about human identity? If you're talking about critical race theory, well, sure, this is a big question, human identity. What does the Bible say about it? What does the Bible say about justice? What does the Bible say about respecting one another? What does the Bible say about how we should conduct ourselves in our speech? I think he would just want us to be asking the right questions and thinking theologically about what we are facing. But I love it, appreciate the question, and I think I would point you to Hunger for Significance and see that some of the theology there is just right over the plate, and I think it could be helpful for us.
Thank you, Joseph. And also, you have won a free copy of R.C. Sproul, A Life. Make sure we get your mailing address. Thanks again to Crossway and CVBBS.com for getting these free copies in the hands of a limited number of our listeners. Here's another controversial question, and I know that there is going to be disagreement over what our listener is asking about as to whether it's a liberty or a sin. It's kind of interesting how the way he phrases this. But he says, "Hello, brothers. We all have sins and vices that others can point out. One of Spurgeon's was smoking cigars." Now, obviously, there's a lot of people throwing things at their computer screens and radios because they believe there's nothing wrong with that right now. That was my commentary, by the way. With Dr. Sproul, it was cigarettes. Did others criticize him about his smoking? I didn't even know that Dr. Sproul smoked cigarettes, but do you have an answer for Grady in Asheboro, North Carolina? I'm sorry if I forgot to mention who that was. Grady is a very, very faithful listener and generous supporter of this program.
Yeah, thanks, Grady. I mentioned this. I don't dwell on it a lot in the book, but I do mention it. It was something he struggled with. And at one point, you know, the thing about writing a biography of R.C. is you could almost write a biography just by reading his books and watching his teaching series. He very much was a sort of lived theology, and you find just all these anecdotes peppered throughout his books. But in one of his teaching series, he talked about how he struggled with cigarettes. And he did smoke. He wished he could give them up. And he actually struggled with this. He wrestled with, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And he would claim that promise, but then he had difficulty giving up smoking. I'll answer your question specifically. You asked, did he get criticism? He criticized himself for it, and I think he probably would have preferred never having started it in the first place. But there it is.
That was actually Grady who asked if he was criticized.
Grady. I thought I heard Brady, so I apologize, Grady. Thank you,
Grady. Make sure we have your full mailing address in Asheboro, North Carolina. You've also won R.C. Sproul a life. Thank you for being such a faithful supporter of this program. We have Bobby in Hartsdale, New York. And Bobby said, "What was R.C. Sproul's area of real anger when it came to the theological climate of the 21st century before he departed this earth?"
Wow. Where do you begin? Okay, so we can talk about this generically. So generically, it was just the apathy towards theology. R.C. just didn't understand that. How could you not see that loving God required you to know who God is? And to know who God is theology. And the fact that so many in contemporary evangelicalism had driven a wedge between "I just want to love God" and that sort of statement and theology. And that really bothered him. It made him just all the more want to show them how meaningful theology was. As far as particular doctrines go, towards the end of his life, he had a great concern for how poor our Christology was. And it was a big part of the animus behind Ligonier producing the Christology statement. So if you're not familiar with that, we actually have a website for it. It's thechristologystatement.com. It's in multiple languages. It's there. It's a statement with affirmations and denials. It was something we worked on in 2016 and put out. Or 15 maybe, one or the other. And that was something that very much concerned him, a sloppy Christology, because this is the gospel we're talking about, who Christ is, the person and work of Christ, the doctrine of Christology, was very much a concern for him, and a sloppiness and just a lack of desire to study it in the American church concerned him.
Well, brother, you have also received a free copy of R.C. Sproul, A Life by Stephen J. Nichols. Thanks for sending in the question. We have, let's see here, we have C.J. in Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, who wants to know who was the greatest living hero of R.C. Sproul, who was actually a contemporary of his. I know a lot about those that lived century before him that he loved to speak about and write about, but that is a good question because I wouldn't be able to answer that question. Do you, can you?
as a kid, Frank Sinatra.
He must have. When he became theologically astute, though, he must have hated my way.
Oh, okay.
My
well,
way. Yeah, it was.
No, I didn't hear the qualification. Theological.
No, well, actually, I don't think there was a theological part of that.
Roberto Clemente. So we can go from music to sports. Bela Lugosi, if we want to talk about actors.
Wow.
But I think. His heroes were all dead. It was Augustine, Luther, Calvin, Edwards, Turretin, Hodge, Machen. Those were his heroes. I think his mentors, those would be Thomas Gregory and John Gerstner. His friends, that would be Jim Boyce. Clearly, they were foxhole buddies. John MacArthur. R.C. called MacArthur Boris. Because, remember Boris, the former president of the union that would ride in the tank?
Yeah.
So R.C. said, that's you, John. Boris. Riding in a tank.
How did he handle that? I mean, John MacArthur.
Oh, John loved it. Are you kidding? In fact, John says, that's the one thing he misses the most. There's nobody around to call him Boris anymore. And the teaching fellows. These were his friends. Bob Godfrey, Steve Lawson, Sinclair Ferguson, Derek Thomas, Burke Parsons. Like, these were R.C.'s friends. So I'd say living, he just had a lot of friends that were really meaningful to him and that he truly cared about.
Well, thanks, CJ. You have also won the free copy of R.C. Sproul, A Life. Make sure we have your mailing address in Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, and we'll make sure that CVBBS.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, gets that out to you. And we thank Crossway again for providing the books to begin with. We have a question from Mike in Monroe, New York. May your guest comment on how R.C. Sproul felt about being criticized, not for studying philosophy and philosophers, but acknowledging their value as thinkers on profound subjects like the infamous Jean-Paul Sartre. His love and appreciation for philosophy, I believe, really commended him as a well-prepared and well-rounded man of God. Also, I loved his down-to-earth mannerisms as he connected so well with the average layman in the church. He made philosophy, however complicated, simple for the non-academician.
Great, Mike. I really appreciate this. You know, I remember I would do these interview sessions where I'd go over to R.C.'s house and we just put a little player on and I just interview him and we just walk through his life. And one session we were talking about college, and when he transferred his major to philosophy, Vesta would sometimes sit on the couch and just sort of listen, and she'd be going through the mail or she'd be editing stuff from Ligonier. And when R.C. mentioned, you know, that he went down to the registrar's office and changed his major to philosophy because of Thomas Gregory, Vesta says, and that made all the difference. And, you know, it was just an observation. There was something to R.C.'s teaching. And I think it's because he came out of liberalism, he appreciated the truth, but also because he was such a student of the history of philosophy. And it just gave a sort of an apologetic angle to what he was doing. One of my favorite books of his is his book, The Consequences of Ideas. And it's just a wonderful book that anyone without a background in philosophy, I think, can benefit from. I was in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and I had rented a car. I was taking it back and heading to the airport. And the person at the rental car counter saw my credit card, said, Ligonier Ministries. And he says to me, Ligonier Ministries, I was just listening to Brother Sproul this morning on Aristotle. And I'm cracking up. And he walks me, you know, back from the car to the little shuttle van. And we're talking about Aristotle. And it was because of this lecture from R.C. I think it was part of the secret sauce of R.C.'s uniqueness. And it came to him in college and then through seminary and his graduate work, the study of philosophy. But I think it shows up in his teaching. It's great. Great observation, Mike. Great question.
Thank you for the excellent question, Mike. And make sure we have your full mailing address in Monroe, New York, so that Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, can ship that book out to you. Thanks again to Crossway for providing the book for free. We have a listener who is a lover of the life and legacy of R.C. Sproul, who I will give his full name since he promotes this show nearly daily on his Facebook page, which is called Twiss House, T-W-I-S-S-E, which is named after the great English theologian William Twiss. And this is a Reformed Anglican I'm speaking of, Donald Veach. And we always appreciate Donald's enthusiasm for promoting this show and spreading the word about it, especially among Anglicans. But he says, Dr. Nichols, I knew R.C. going back to the first PCRT in 1974 in Philadelphia. Knew him and Vesta through the years. This scribe has his own take, a most high one. Having written your book, what are the chief legacy items of R.C.? An executive summary. Projects for the next generation because of R.C. And if you see Vesta, tell her it was the Navy chaplain. Glad you are at Reformation Bible College and got your Ph.D. from Westminster Theological Seminary. Regards, Phil Veach. Sorry for butchering your question there a little bit, Brother Veach. But was that intelligible for you, Dr. Nichols?
I have plenty of fodder to go on with that one. So first of all, I will be sure to pass this on to Vesta. The coded message will make it to her. I'll make sure she gets it. After I get him establishing the study center at Ligonier, I devote chapters to what I think are going to be his four sort of centers of focus and legacy. So one is on apologetics, and I think that is clearly one. He's known for a particular approach to apologetics, classical apologetics. Along with his mentor Gershner and Art Lindley, they published a book called Classical Apologetics. The year before, Holiness came out, by the way, so 1984. So I definitely think as time goes on, and in the Reformed world, and this is the cryptic reference to Westminster Seminary, so I picked up on that too, in the Reformed world, it seems to be dominated by presuppositional apologetics from Van Til, of course, at Westminster. And R.C. was on the other side of that. And I think there's a little resurgence right now in the classical view, and I think over time, you're going to see the classical view becoming more and more prominent. That's one prong of the legacy. The second is clearly the holiness of God, and I think it's going to be the dominant legacy. But it comes from his book, The Holiness of God, 1985, clearly his emphasis. It is in our mission statement at Ligonier Ministries. Our mission is to defend the holy and to promote the holiness of God in all of its fullness to as many people as possible. I don't know. John Piper commented on, I've never heard of another Christian organization that has the holiness of God in its mission statement. I think a third emphasis is what we were talking about earlier, and his stand for the gospel and sola fide. In fact, I think you could tie into that just the emphasis on the sola. I think R.C., more than any other person, probably introduced a lot of people to the Reformation solas and introduced that as a helpful paradigm to grasp the essence of Reformation doctrine. So the emphasis on sola fide that clearly comes out there in his emphasis there on stand. I think the other thing is more of a method, and that is he was a populist. He took the message to the people, and I think that that's going to be part of his legacy. He spoke to the laity, and not in ways of dumbing things down, but just in ways of bringing concepts to them without all the academic technicalia. And I think as time marches on, we'll see that as part of his legacy, that he just was, ultimately what I'm trying to say here, he was a communicator, and an amazing one. So those are some of the things, that I think are his legacy.
Well, thank you, Donald, and please keep spreading the word about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in Jacksonville, North Carolina, and to the Anglican community through Twist House on Facebook. You've been a huge encouragement, brother. Thanks a lot for the excellent question. We have Murray in Kinross, Scotland. Thank you for sharing the link for the statement on Christology. Did R.C. Sproul himself write on the subject of Christology, and did he recommend other authors on the subject?
Yeah, he's got a great book called The Glory of Christ, and I would definitely recommend that. I sort of like that one because, Chris, I found the manuscript for it. It's all written out on yellow legal pads. And I mean, these chapters are flawless. He would sit and write out a chapter flawlessly. I'm not talking about a page, a chapter. And sometimes at the end of the chapter, he would put footnotes from memory of where the books are from.
Wow.
And, I mean, when I handwrite stuff, I've got cross-outs and false starts. This thing almost goes right from manuscript. Anyway, I'm digressing from the question. But yeah, Glory of Christ, I think as far as authors go. So, okay, if you're ready, here are his big theologians that he loved. Calvin and Calvin's Institutes. So you can do yourself no wrong whatsoever by getting a good copy of the Institutes and working your way through it. He also loved the theologian Francis Turretin, and PNR has published a three-volume eclectic theology of Francis Turretin. It's hefty, it's a big deal, it's a tough go, but he would definitely recommend Turretin. So Calvin and Turretin are some theologians from the past that he would recommend and I think would point you to as good sources, especially for Christology. And then the other thing I would point you to is that there's the Christology statement. I'm glad you found the website. On there you'll see a series of affirmations and denials. So I think there's 26 of them. I think those would be helpful for you to study. And there's biblical texts there with each of those. So to sort of plunge then from those statements into the biblical texts could be a helpful enterprise.
Well, thank you, Murray in Kinross, Scotland. Please keep listening to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and spreading the word about this program throughout the UK and beyond. We're going to our final break right now. It's going to be much shorter than the other ones. So don't go away. We're going to be right back with the conclusion of our discussion with Dr. Stephen J. Nichols and R.C. Sproul, A Life. Don't go away.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Hello, dear ones. My name is Justin Peters, and my friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are frequently blessed to share great times of fellowship with one another at conferences all over the United States. We'll both be enjoying more fellowship together at the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October the 2nd, on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be speaking there along with over 20 other speakers, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Vody Balcom, Joel Beakey, and James White. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Please join Chris Arnzen and me September 30th through October the 2nd at G3 2021. This is Justin Peters reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Welcome back. And Dr. Nichols, you should be interested and pleased to know that one of the ads that I have been playing throughout the program for the Historical Bible Society, which is an organization founded by Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, who also has an ad running for his law firm in the show. Back in the 90s, Dan was an Arminian and an elder in an Assemblies of God congregation, and I gave him as a Christmas present Grace Unknown by R.C. Sproul, which I believe has a different title right now. And
That might be what is Reformed. What is the Reformed faith?
Yes.
What is Reformed faith? Yeah.
Yes. And Dan said to me, I can remember when I gave this to him, when he was visiting my office, he said, "Are you kidding me? You're giving me propaganda for Christmas?" I got a call on New Year's Day, early in the morning, actually, and he said, "Chris, I haven't been asleep. I've been reading this book all night. I believe every word now. I'm Reformed." And he has maintained his belief in Reformed theology ever since. He's still a Pentecostal, but he has clung to the Reformed faith ever since finishing that book.
I love it.
Well, I'd like you to, before we run out of time, make sure you have several minutes of uninterrupted time to really summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today when it comes to R.C. Sproul and his legacy.
Back in fall 2014, we made a New England tour. We happened to visit the Old South Church in Newburyport, Massachusetts. This is the church where Whitfield preached his final sermon. He'd gone through there before and preached, and the pastor of the other church in town was converted by Whitfield's preaching, realized he wasn't a Christian. And so, he tells his congregation, "I'm a Christian now," and they kick him out. And he grabs bunch of other folks who were converted under Whitfield, and they started a brand new church there in town. They called it Old South Church. Well, a few years later, Whitfield comes back and preaches there on a Saturday, and they follow him. He's staying in the preacher's house. They follow him to the preacher's house to try to, like, squeeze one more sermon out of this guy. And Whitfield offers one. Then from the steps of the pastor's house, they're out in the lawn and so forth. Then he dies overnight and is buried there in the church. Well, we visited that church. We weren't supposed to, Chris, do anything there, have a teaching time there. We're just going to visit it. Whitfield's grave is there. He's buried actually under the pulpit. And we're going to see it and leave. You know, hop back on the bus, go to the next thing. R.C. got up to speak. And none of this was scripted or planned. He tells a joke. He says, before Whitfield died, he said, "A couple centuries from now, some preacher will come from Central Florida and try to preach to you people over my dead body." And of course, Whitfield's buried there. So anyway, it's R.C.'s joke. Then he turns on a dime and in quotes the exchange with Christ and Peter, and where Peter says, Christ says, "Who am I?" And he says, "You know, Son of the living God." And Christ says, "Whom flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, Peter, but my Father who is in heaven. And he launched into a sermon on awakening. And we're all sitting there just amazed at what we're hearing and the power of it. I remember I looked over at Chris Larson, Legionnaires president, and he looked at me, and we both gave us this look like, I can't believe we're not recording this. But I'm jotting notes as furiously as I can. And he just talked about Edwards and Luther and Calvin, and he said what it was about these men was that they had an encounter with the living God. They had an encounter with the holy God of the Bible. And when they preached with a passion so that everyone who heard them would have an encounter with the holy God. And he just started talking about awakening. And from then on, he would talk about awakening. We made it the theme of our 2018 national conference. R.C. died before it, but he picked the theme, Beyond Awakening. And it's just interesting to me that in his twilight years, he was, with him, it was not just the years, it was the miles. I mean, it was difficult for him to preach. He had COPD, he had a number of strokes, but he just was impassioned for the gospel and impassioned for the church to have an awakening, to have a true sense of who God is, and to have that dominate who we are as a church and who we are as a people of God. I went down to, or went up rather, to Atlanta to interview Archie Parrish. He was a longtime friend of R.C.'s. And a few months after I visited with him, Archie passed away too. And it was a wonderful time interview. Then Archie asked if he could pray for the book. And I recorded it. And I actually have it in the book as the sort of final word. And Archie, his prayer is that as God used R.C.'s life for awakening of people to the deep things of God, the truth of God, that this book would be serve in that same way to just bring an awakening. So as I think about, you know, all these wonderful thoughts we have of R.C., we still have his teaching, we're going to have it for decades to come. I really just pray for a true awakening, both in our church and in our culture, to just come to know the God of the Bible and who he is and how we come to know him through Jesus Christ and what Christ has done for us. So that's my prayer for the book, and as we reflect on R.C.'s legacy, that we would pick up that passion to see an awakening and to just see people come to know who God is.
Amen. I'm so glad that I was able to see R.C. speak. Was the last time I saw him speak, about a year before he went home to glory. He was at an event that was not only speaking involved with various speakers, including Dr. Sproul, but a concert featuring the award-winning composer Jeff Lippincott in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And it was interesting to see how Dr. Sproul, even though he was in a wheelchair and had oxygen hooked up to him, when it came time for him to speak, I was amazed at the boldness and clarity and the strength with which he was able to proclaim the Word of God. That was quite a blessing to be in the pews right near him that day.
Yeah, that was a special moment. And he's sort of the old athlete in him, right, Chris? You just saw it, and it was game day, and he put on the game face, and he did it. But yeah, that was a special moment, that conference and that concert.
Well, I want to thank you so much for carving out 2 hours of your day and your busy schedule to be with us today. I want to make sure our listeners have the website for Reformation Bible College again. It's reformationbiblecollege.org. ReformationBibleCollege.org. I also want to make sure that they have the website for Ligonier Ministries. It's Ligonier.org, Ligonier.org. And don't forget about our friends at Crossway Books for, thank them for donating these books that we gave away today. And if you'd like to purchase the book, R.C. Sproul, A Life, you could get that at our sponsor's website, cvbbs.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com. Thank you so much, Dr. Nichols. I want to thank everybody who listened. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.